The boys are back in town. Deadlock episode number 14. We're coming at you after a week of Thanksgiving and wrestling. We're going to be talking about it all. Of course, it's myself and none other than my beautiful co-host here, Tony Pizza Guy.
I don't know what that was. I've never done that before. I felt like it was a good thing.
We had, of course, a couple of Apple podcast summaries here. We had one from Moo Quick. He said it was one of the best podcasts ever. He says, I've been following Pulse for a long time. I've been waiting for him to venture out into the podcast game. He has the voice for it, and he's a totally shredded up hunk. Well, that totally does not look like Heath Slater or Sheamus or any other redhead I can think of. We had another review here from the Skizzard, who said, long story short, I got a scratch cornea and I was legally blind, but somehow I was able to turn on the Deadlock podcast and it kept me entertained while I was blind for 48 hours.
Wow.
Okay. We are entertaining even people with scratch corneas. You love to see it.
And we are curing blindness too, because I think that was the reason that he could see again.
And within 48 hours, he was back to normal health, man. We are truly geniuses of the game. And of course, before we get into everything, I just wanted to give a little update here. We had talked about this a little bit before on the podcast, but we never really announced anything yet. But we are going to be doing year-end awards. And we're going to be calling them the Deddies. Totally not the Dundies. It's the Deddies. The Deddies. Don't call it the Dundies. The Deddies 2019. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be setting it up like this. On this episode right here, if you check the show description on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever the hell else you're watching it, you'll see a Google Doc link or a Google Sheets or Google whatever the hell it's called, Google Forms.
Yeah, Doc. We'll go with Doc.
Yeah, it's something. It's a Google form that you'll see. You can click on that, and it's going to have a whole list of the awards we're doing. We kept it kind of simple for the first year just because we just wanted to make sure that, you know, we got the ones we wanted to get down, and then we'll, you know, over the next couple of years, we'll probably stretch out the awards and introduce new ones. But we have stuff like Wrestler of the Year, Show of the Year, Worst Twitter Moment, Best Twitter, Worst Twitter, stuff like that. So if you want to go to that Google, you can submit your... So basically what we're doing is we're going to take ballot submissions from you guys this week. Then next week, we're going to pick the ballots. It'll be four people in each category or four shows or whatever. It'll be four selections in each category. Mm-hmm. And then next week, you guys will vote on the four that we choose. So you guys submit ballots. We pick the final ballot. And then you guys get to vote for who wins the award. So it's all up to you guys. Basically, we just pick who you guys can pick. And we're going to be doing that on the next show. So next week, you'll be able to submit the final choices for the awards. This week, you're just going to submit basically, you know, who's going to be on the ballot. Who would you like to see? We're picking it, but we're going to let you guys submit so we can kind of get an idea of what people are thinking this year for each award, like Wrestler of the Year and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because there's a lot of really good wrestling shows, so it's kind of, I kind of want to see what you guys would think would be best wrestling shows. Like, usually it's just like WrestleMania, but there were so many good wrestling shows this year, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be better if we, you know, the reason I think we did this is just because, like, I'm biased, so, like, all my shows of the year would be, you know, Stardom shows or TJPW shows.
Yeah, right.
Maybe, you know, I thought maybe we're getting submissions and so I could get an idea of what people want to see on the ballot and like get a real idea. You know, if I see like Wrestler of the Year and I see like a whole, if I see 25 people say one wrestler, I'm like, oh, okay, well then obviously like he should be on the ballot, you know, that kind of thing.
Instead of just kind of
picking stuff and like, okay, here you guys go, just figure it out. Okay, so here's the deal with Patreon. Super fucking lazy, just didn't do it. But I did check Patreon to see if we had any new ones, and like Patreon is in the middle of its like month transition. So I went to check the relationship manager to see like new people, and I can't see it right now because it's in the transition period between last month and this month. So we're just going to wait till next week and do all that stuff. So we'll gimmick out and then we'll announce all the patrons for this month and everything on the next episode. Just because it's bad timing on when we're recording this, it's right in between the Patreon months, and it can be a little fickle when it wants to be.
Of course, want to make sure everybody gets a recognition.
Yeah. I mean, we appreciate everybody that does it anyways. But we'll give you guys your little recognitions on the next episode when we get all that stuff done, which will along with be with the Deddies and stuff next week too. So we got a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of stuff coming up here. A lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. What's the haps in wrestling?
Never say that again.
Doesn't some other podcast say what's the haps?
Yes, dude. Sam Roberts. Don't ever say that again, dude.
What do you think this is, man? All right.
What the hell do you think this is? All right. So We had AEW this week, of course. That's the one I watched. I didn't watch any. I'm going to be dead ass with you, man. I watched literally nothing else this week. Well, at least, you know, when it comes to Raw, SmackDown, and all that other stuff.
I'm sure you saw some clips and stuff.
Yeah, right? I saw a couple of clips just because I follow a couple of people on Twitter and stuff. So I saw a couple of things, but like, yeah, I didn't really keep up with like anything Raw, SmackDown, or NXT or anything else. I mean, I could sit here and talk to you about Misao and Rika Tatsumi having a big Falls Count Anywhere match, but I feel like, you know, maybe we don't talk about that right now just because I'll save that for my other podcast. That's pretty much what I watched this week. But yeah, I saw a couple other things. But AEW this week was, I saw a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah, there was a very hard reaction about that show. And Kenny Omega had a statement on that. Did you see that? Were you pretty?
I saw some of it, I think. I think he said that, you know, next year, wait till next year. I'm sure that's what everyone wanted to hear.
I hate to say this, but wait till next year. But he was kind of in a dilemma, which is kind of a weird thing because he's like, I don't want to book myself, but me and Moxley were in a big angle. So if I have to book that angle, and then that gives the women less time. So it's kind of like,
well, yeah, he says this, but it's like, bro, you booked the angle in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like there had to be a Moxley and Omega thing. It's like, well, you just kind of made that a thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's very weird. They're probably getting to that point where they're like, damn, I hate being a wrestler and a booker at the same time. This sucks.
I wouldn't be surprised if, honestly, as time went on, if most of them just kind of stopped wrestling on the show as much. Like, I don't
do one or the other. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you can stay on TV and book yourself. Like, there's obviously going to be some biased something somewhere if you're on TV and booking at the same time. I mean, like, look back at the WWF back in the day. Vince was in like every single segment on the entire show. You couldn't go like 5 seconds without seeing Vince McMahon. It's like, just because he was booking the show, like, he's going to be on the show. That's like a big thing, you know? Even back in TNA, I mean, even when Dusty was booking, he was on TV with, what was that dude from Survivor? Johnny Goody Two Shoes. I remember his fucking name. Yeah,
Johnny
Dusty
Fairplay
was on TV half the time too, and he was booking. You know, he'd sit in the back
Jeff
of a pickup
Jarrett.
Truck.
Yeah, that was champion weird. For 800 days and shit.
Yeah, Jarrett too. Yeah, Jarrett was champion forever. He was booking himself. So, I mean, like, there obviously will always be some bias, like, you know, taking up time on TV stuff. If I had to pick anyone from the list that would probably, you know, stop wrestling sooner than later. It's funny because if you would have asked me like a couple weeks ago, I probably would have said Cody. But at this point, I feel like out of all the Elite, Cody is bringing the most to the table for the TV show than, you know, anybody else, which is weird.
Oh, yeah, he's the most over out of everybody. And
I still think he takes a back seat and only does big feuds to put people over. I don't think he stays on TV I don't think he stays on TV for a super long time. Like, we saw that this week where Cody just took a fall, you know?
Yeah, and also he can just do one of those things where, like, he has a segment where he talks for a second and then the crowd loves it and then that's it. He doesn't have to have, like...
Yeah, he's just there to, like, get shit over, you know? I think, like, yeah, I don't think having him work every week is the way to go. I don't think he has to, you know, I don't think he has to work somebody every single week to get over. Like, he already kind of just is that kind of dude, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And people love, like, his music hits and the crowd goes crazy as it is. So
it was even kind of like that, you know, we were talking about Vince and stuff. Like, Vince didn't work all the time. He just worked at pay-per-views pretty much, and like, he was still over when he worked, you know, and stuff like that. So I definitely don't think Jeff Jarrett was the opposite. He was on TV every single week and he was on every pay-per-view and he was in every segment. But I don't think Cody has to. Thinking about the Jeff Jarrett thing now, I was like, God, he was in everything. I remember there was like main event matches where like Jarrett wasn't even in the match. He was just running with the title and then run out and leave. he was getting like chased
and it was
by
like
somebody.
He had like the shittiest finishes too. Like, it was kind
they
of
were all
like,
just like super overbooked finishes. Yeah, they had to protect him.
Like,
every
they hit
time.
Him. He like would hit him with a guitar and then the stroke and then like, oh, and then it would be Hebner would take like 80 years to do the count. And
yeah,
then
he would make
tell
sure
the fans to throw water bottles at him. I remember one time that
I mean, it's not like it was a bad run, right? I mean, it was. I
it's
look
memorable.
Back on it. Yeah,
I mean,
look back on it as a fun time, but like, I'm sure watching it, it's a lot of stuff like that. You know, where you're watching wrestling, and as you're watching it, you're like, but then you look back on it, you're like, that wasn't the worst. You know what I mean?
But I will say this: him and AJ Styles had three separate pay-per-view matches. And I think it took the third one. Then AJ Styles won the NWA title for the first time.
Yep.
I ordered every one of those pay-per-views because I wanted to see AJ Styles win. And Jeff Jarrett was a slimy scumbag, and he would not give that title up. And then AJ finally won it. I think Russo helped him win it, or maybe that wasn't
it was
the
somebody.
Time,
yeah, he definitely, Jarrett definitely did not drop any title like just flat back. You know what I mean? Like, he definitely didn't just lay down for anybody.
I will tell you, I was super in, like, whatever Jarrett was doing, I hated it, and I wanted to see AJ win, so it was doing its business at the time.
My world, my world. That little strut he did when he came down there. Yeah. That shit was hot,
he had like a he had a long intro. It was like, there are champions, dun, 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 dun. Then there are world champions, dun, 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 dun.
Half the production was just him.
It showed like Germany and then like Japan. He like wrestled once in Japan or something. So they put that on the map, and then they put like Nashville. And then it was like, he's a world champion because he went like three places across the world.
Dude, there was a shoot. Cody's kind of like that thing about it now. He came out for a squash match. Bing, the fucking lights are coming. He's coming out from underneath the ring. It's like, you're facing Johnny Nix over here. What?
Yeah, every time he gets the chandelier.
I was like, what's going on? He got in
the
ring.
He comes
out for
a talking segment.
Yeah, this is 5'6" fucking just jobber. Like, who is this? And why did he just come out? Oh my God, Cody's here.
That reminds me of Hogan in TNA when he came out, the whole pyro budget was blown on Hulk Hogan.
Oh man, I remember the one entrance with Hogan where he thought like the pyro was over and it kept going for like 5 more minutes. So he like got back up on the ramp and started doing the Hogan thing again. It's like, oh my God.
Hogan had never had pyro in his entire career. Comes TNA, they use all the pyro on Hogan.
Yeah, AJ Styles got fucking siphoned. Oh dude, I'll never forget that. The
play pin. We need more people that like have squash matches in a huge thing of pyro going off. That's my favorite wrestling trope.
Cody, all right, so yeah, let me talk about this for a second. So Cody came out for this squash match with some random dude where the pyro just went.
He gets rised up from the thing.
Yeah, he can't. The chandelier. Oh.
And it's like 20 minutes of like the chandelier going up. I thought it was going to be for like big matches, you know, like the first time he did it, I'm like, oh, this is a big match. And then he comes out.
There's this. There's this fucking dude in the ring. He is legitimately like a universe mode, just create a player ass.
Hit that random button and put him in the ring.
He's just chilling in the ring. He has to sit there for Cody's entire entrance. He's just sitting in the ring and, oh, oh my God.
So, da, 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 da. It's like the Halo song.
Oh my God. The chief is here. So Cody has a squash match with Johnny 2x4.
If you ran your own company, you'd do the same thing.
Oh, I know. I would go Brolic. I absolutely would go Brolic. It's hilarious. I love it. I love that he is so he's so egotistical with that stuff, man.
No, that's just his regular. That's like normal. You should see his special entrance, dude. That's
next pay-per-view, he's about to come in on a plane. What the hell is that?
Wait for the whole plane to fly across country.
Yeah, it just comes down and lands right in the middle of the ring. Hello. So Cody has a squash match with some Johnny 2x4 looking ass dude. Doesn't even beat him with his finish. He just beats him with a figure four like. His entrance.
That was true.
Yeah, my favorite part was Cody like gave him a bit. He locked up with him and was like, oh, wrist lock with this guy. I'm like, what the? Cody is like 40 times as big as this dude. Just toss this dude into the crowd. So he beats this dude with the figure four leg lock and he goes, MJF, I don't like you. So he grabs the mic, he's like, MJF, you jerk. And then out of nowhere, Pepper Parks comes in and beats up Cody. I was like, whoa, what in the world? And then all of a sudden, fucking Andy Williams from Every Time I Die comes from underneath the ring and they beat up Cody Rhodes. And then Allie comes out and I'm like, what is going on? And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, yo, wait, didn't Allie get beat up by Brandy? Didn't that happen? Wasn't she one of the ones that got beat up by Brandy?
Yeah, I think, yeah, she did. When they cut her hair. Didn't they cut her hair?
Was it Allie that got her hair cut? I'm like, damn, then that actually like makes sense. Yeah. So Allie said, like, I'm going to get my boyfriend and this big ass dude from Every Time I Die, and I'm going to beat the hell out of your boyfriend. So I'd be like, I thought, like, okay, like, that's cool. I don't know, man. I know a lot of people, like, first off, commentary, JR ruined this moment. just straight up. JR ruined this.
I feel like there's an issue with AEW introducing people that the crowd doesn't know and the commentators, Excalibur knew.
Yeah, he goes, there's the Blade. And then JR's like, who's the Blade? And he's like, that's the Blade.
He's like, it's the Blade and the Butcher. And he's like, the Butcher and the Bunny. The Bunny. And
Jim Ross is like, JR, what the? Just like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? First off, how do you not know the Bunny? She's on the show, JR. She's on the show. She's not even new. She's on the show.
It's one of those. It kind of happened with the Dark Order. Remember when they first came and everyone in the crowd was like, who are you? Who are you?
But at that point, he didn't even say their name. He didn't say nothing. He said, I don't know.
Like, he obviously knew who they are.
Yeah, they say, Excalibur, say their names this time.
It's the Blade and the Butcher and the Bunny. And Jim Ross is like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I don't like JR's whole, I don't like his whole oblivious to everything gimmick that he's doing. I don't like it at all. Like, it really, it does nothing for anyone. It makes everyone look like dog shit. Just so everyone knows, so we can keep a list. You guys know how in The Simpsons they have that thing where it's like 0 days since accident or whatever.
Jim Ross screwed up.
Yeah, 0 days since Jim Ross had to post on Twitter that he had to quote tweet someone that said, JR, your commentary fucking sucks. It's been another week.
That's the thing. He's got this weird thing where he's like, I don't want to know because I want to be excited for the product, which I understand. But when you're not excited, then it doesn't work.
You have to actually like wrestling to be excited. You have to be told. I don't think JR likes wrestling anymore.
Like, if he's going to go out there and see, like, Kurt Angle or somebody, you know what I mean? Like,
dude, he talked about the Boomer Sooners or whatever. He heard the word Boomer Sooner. And he was like, oh, this is my time. He started going off on a tangent. He's like, yeah, they're going to be facing the Dur-Dur next week on the Lur-Dur. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't give a fuck about college football. And I don't give a fuck about.
I think they were talking about, like, where they're going or where AEW is going to be next. And they're like, oh yeah, Boomer Sooner. And I'm like, oh,
the Boomer Sooner. I'm like, oh my God, who cares? Like, bro, come on, man. Just put the product over. So anyways, I don't care what anybody thought about this segment except for me. Cause I loved it. First off, cause Andy Williams is my dude. I could not believe my eyes when I saw that shit. I was like, oh my God. Cause one, he's like, I don't know. I just didn't expect any more tag teams right now. Cause I feel like, you know, they have a lot of tag teams.
Yeah.
And I definitely didn't expect this one. And then, you know, Andy Williams is a guitarist in one of my favorite bands ever. I've been listening to him since I was like in ninth grade. It's been forever. Every Time I Die, which is a great band. If you guys haven't seen or heard this band before, go check them out, man. The new Junk Aesthetic album from a few years ago is fantastic. All their new stuff is good too. They actually have an album they're working on right now. Just amazing band. I was just listening to him the other day too, which is why it was even crazier that he popped up from underneath the ring. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Like, I definitely want to get this dude on the podcast and like talk to him or something, just to, you know, talk about how, because he's always been a wrestling fan. Like, if you go back and you look at Every Time I Die music videos and stuff, it's sprinkled in with wrestling stuff. There's always like a championship somewhere in it, or, you know, even in the lyrics sometimes there's something related to wrestling or whatever the case may be. And Andy Williams started wrestling and he's on fucking AEW already, dude. That's crazy, man. That's absolutely nuts. And you know, they got this old school horror-esque thing going on. He's like the Butcher and Pepper Parks as the Blade. And now they have, you know, Allie in, which gives her a gimmick too. I think there's a lot of upside with this, honestly. Yeah, I thought it was dope as hell. Like, I ran back in the room. Like, I was cooking dinner and like I heard Excalibur go, the Blade, and I'm like, what the fuck? So I ran back in the ring. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And I was like, then I saw Andy Williams come right at the ring. I lost my mind. I'm like, oh no, but
it's one of those things where, like, if you don't know, you have to wait and find out and like give it some time before you write it off already. I feel like that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Like, oh well, this isn't so and so from PWG or this guy from ROH or this guy from New. It's like, if it's not. It's not Will Ospreay or Marty Scurll. We don't care.
Yeah. It'd be funny as hell if they ended up getting Marty into this.
Yeah.
Like I don't think they are. I thought maybe they would until I saw Allie. Then I saw Allie and I was like, oh, maybe they don't get Marty into this. Because I believe Marty's deal's up, man. I think he was on a handshake deal with for Final Battle that Ring of Honor had the other night. Mm-hmm. And I think he's done. So he's like free to go somewhere. And it does match up with the Butcher and the Blade debuting, but I feel like maybe they'll go with the Elite thing more than sticking him with Butcher Blade.
Probably. I think so.
That's probably, yeah. These guys are, you know, they're good. I think a lot of people will really come to like them. Andy is like this super, he's got this super like old school mind, you know what I mean? Like he's mm-hmm. He's a hoss, and like AEW needs more hosses, man. You know what I mean?
Love your hosses. Yeah, James loves his big hosses.
I mean, AEW needs bigger dudes. I mean, that's just the truth. They do. And he's got this, you know, he's a really old school he's got the old school mentality where he works how he works, and I think it'll be good. And I love this. So yeah, the only thing I can say is commentary, man. Step the fuck up, bro. Like if it's not gonna be worth the shit, just don't even fucking do it. Just take commentary off.
It's the Butcher and the Blade, and it didn't help. Shivani was gone that week.
And they had that one dude. Had that one dude for the All Elite Fleet.
Let's not even talk about that.
The All Elite Fleet. All Elite Fleet. And All Elite Fleet. You said,
"Oh yeah, I'm happy to be here." Yeah, I think I'm. You know, it's a good move.
They like threw him up a softball too. They're like, "All right, so we're gonna let you." So what do you think about this tag team?
Do you like Cody?
Yeah, I like Cody.
It was the most softball thing of all time. So, Best Friends versus Lucha Brothers. What do you think? Lucha Brothers are good.
Yeah, I like the Lucha Brothers a lot.
All right, then. All right, man. Well, we'll catch you later. Thanks for coming on. That was so weird. I was so confused. You're like, yeah, it's from... Oh, yeah, JR couldn't even get the name of the thing from. I think it was State Farm. He said Allstate. How do you mess that up? How do you mess that up?
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, man. God, man, I can't... Every week with this dude. Every single week. How do you even mess that up? Ugh, whatever. Geico or something.
can they get it? I don't know. Get someone in his earpiece. I'm sorry, man.
He needs someone in the earpiece. He does. He needs it. He craves it. He needs it. So somebody please do that. Please.
It's not that he's not a legend. We get it. You put in your time and work, but if you're not performing at your job, it take you out back through the NXT door.
Yeah, it'll take you out back if you ain't performing, buddy. So why don't you go ahead and learn that real quick.
It's like when it's hurting your product where like you're trying to get this new team over, the Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny, and then he's like, huh?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for him to just lose his fucking mind one week. I'm just waiting for JR to just absolutely go mental. It's like, I just don't fucking know. I don't know what the Butcher, I don't know what the Blade is. I don't know what a Bunny is. God, when's college football?
Who the fuck are these guys? What is this shit? This shit sucks. I'm out of here. And he throws his papers up and gets off.
Just leaves. I don't want to watch wrestling anymore. Dude, we're live on TV. I want to watch football. All right, dude,
I don't like Joshi wrestling. I'm out of here.
JR just stands up. I hate women, and I hate wrestling, and I want beer.
I'm going to grab a drink with Sandman.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I almost forgot about the JR, the fucking what JR said in the women's match, dude. So Emi Sakura comes out to the thing, and, you know, she's dressed up as Freddie Mercury, and JR still doesn't understand. He's like, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand.
So, just say Freddie Mercury. That's it.
So she comes out and JR goes, and here is Emi Sakura. She's very oriental. She's Asian. Female. JR, come on, man. What are you doing?
Oh, no.
Come on, JR. Breathe. Breathe, JR. Good Lord, dude. Why is it the first thing when she comes to the ring? Hey, she's a damn Oriental. What are you, Jake? What are you, Clint Eastwood? The hell is this?
Can you not think of anything else?
It's like the first. It's like the first thing that when she literally appeared on the screen, and JR just goes Oriental. What the hell, JR? You can't just. What are you doing, dude?
Someone please Photoshop Gran Torino with his face. Yeah, on
JR is literally Clint Eastwood. Just don't. Just, oh my, the worst part is like, there's no turnaround at the end. There's no turnaround. This isn't a movie. This is real life. Oh, come on, JR. You're killing me, man. You're killing me.
Huh. That's fantastic, dude. Oh my gosh.
JR, dude, he just wants to go watch football, man. That's fine. If you want to just go watch football, then go watch football. Just go, like, you don't gotta be here. You know what I mean? Like, go do something else.
they didn't tell him how tall she was. So that,
oh,
that was
that's true. He doesn't have any metrics on her weight. He needs something else, or he just goes to what he knows. He goes, Oriental.
They should literally just like give him like a run sheet of all facts on wrestlers and like just read this sheet. That's it. Just read all the facts about wrestlers.
He knew it was wrong right away, and then he tried to recover and then he just made it worse. Emi Sakura is Oriental. Asian. Female. JR, what are you doing? You know, Excalibur's just like, you ever seen that Family Guy joint where Tom Tucker's got the kid with the upside down face, and that Stewie and Brian go over to his house, and Brian goes, so he's like something, he's like, oh, I'm glad we got this figured out, it's not upside down face, and then Stewie just like turns his head over to him, he's just like, huh. That's Excalibur every single week on AEW is Stewie looking at Brian. That's every single week. JR!
Oh my gosh.
Good God. Yeah. Fix it.
Yeah. And Tony Khan and them are backstage about like, we have him for 3 more years.
Yeah. What do we do with this guy? We paid him the most money out of anyone on this entire show. What do we do with this guy?
Man, that just goes to show you that, like, even though you've been in the biz forever, man, it's time. When your time is up, you know.
Yeah, didn't John Cena say that? He said, "Look, man, I ain't gonna stick around. When I get too old to do this shit, I'm leaving." And he did. And when he said he went and he did some movies, well, not before he debuted that fist thing, the lightning fist.
that's kind of how WWE works, and they always like have younger commentators that understand what the culture is, and I think they need to do that in AEW. I think probably get rid of Jim Ross.
The difference here, in WWE, they just bully you until you leave. That's what WWE. They just make
you hate your life, and then you eventually quit. So maybe they should just start like saying, start some Twitter war with Jim Ross about how he sucks on commentary.
Jim Ross on Twitter every week is doing that. He's doing that every week, anyways. Every single week, there's a quote tweet, JR, you suck at commentating. He said, oh, here we go again.
Cowboy hat emoji.
Yeah, it's like, man, what if JR, you know, you just, I don't know, took some criticism on that. Who knows? Maybe.
It sucks because when he cares about the product, he's actually decent. But then, like, when he doesn't, it really shows he doesn't.
He doesn't. Look, man, it's okay if you don't like wrestling that much anymore. We don't care. Like, we don't care if you don't like wrestling anymore. Just maybe get the hell off the TV product if you don't like it. You know what I mean? Like, everyone gets out of wrestling.
He's there to do his job. He's there to do a job, and that's what he said.
Like, that's the kind of job security I want, you know? Like, if I sucked on YouTube for a week, I'd probably have to just quit and go do something
anywhere. If you did your job poorly and made mistakes, you would get reprimanded for it. But, oh, boy, pal, that's live TV for you.
Yeah, like, man, if I coded at work or something, and like I cleaned a fucking hard drive or something, they'd be like, all right, man, pack it up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sticking around.
You call it your customers Asian, Oriental.
Yeah, female. If I start going off about like just completely bigoted shit, they'd be like, all right, dog, that's it for you. Go.
Like, pack it in.
Yeah, JR hates fucking wrestling. He's got the biggest contract he's ever had. Like, that's the kind of job security I want, you know? Like, I totally want that.
Once you put in your time, man.
Yeah, I feel like Jim would go great on NWA Power. Why don't you head on over there?
That'd be a good fit, actually. I like it. Let's move him. Let's do a trade right now. A
couple other things. The show opened up with a Thanksgiving celebration with Chris Jericho.
The Thanksgiving La Champion Thank Appreciation. I forgot what it was called.
Yeah, it was like a big name. Yeah. Inflatable clowns. He was selling his own bubbly, which the site crashed immediately. Like, it literally, like, I tried to grab some and I just couldn't.
I had it in my cart and then I was like, why am I buying this? I put it back.
That's me with like everything nowadays. Why am I getting this? It's because I have disposable income. I can't help it. Like, it's just like, it's one of those things.
I was like, this might make for a fun YouTube video. And then I'm like, nah, I don't even want it.
Probably yeah, you make like the crap. YouTube video where you drink the bubbly. Tony is a drunkard. It cracked. The site crashed
immediately. Anyway, dude.
It would have been demonetized. Yeah, absolutely. It would have been. The site crashed immediately. It was like a little bit of the bubbly.com or something.
Yeah, but it led to like some It was like some guy's personal winery or whatever, and then like they were selling it on there.
Oh, so. yeah. They just kind of strapped a little thing on it. Man, that's I'm trying to get into that racket.
That's a great idea, though. Just take already made champagne and just put your logo over it, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into that racket. I want that racket and the one that JR's got. I want these are the kind of jobs that I'm looking for here. So
I feel like Jericho just goes out there and says a bunch of dumb shit, and whatever sticks, he sells merch. And he's like, let's go.
He has like 40,000 shirts. At least 40,000.
Now they're going to have the cardboard stand-ups, right? Are those on sale yet? Where they have Guevara, Chris Jericho cardboard stand-up in the crowd. That was.
Yeah, they might. Sheesh, they had a lot. And Chris Jericho brought his dad out. And they showed the local sports team.
They did that. They did the biggest heel thing of all time. Your team sucks. My team's awesome. His dad
literally came in and said, man, fuck the Blackhawks. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
that was hilarious. That was so good.
Jake Hagar brought out a goat named Chris Jericho Goat.
Except the goat didn't want to walk out there.
Yeah, so that goat was like, what the hell? This ain't WWE.
He just kind of left.
Justin Roberts came in the ring and he read some note or something that said, blah, 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 I'm a dirty tramp. And then...
It basically said, Jericho, thank you, and...
Yeah, it was just like, thank you, something Jericho. Like and then they beat the hell out of him. Then SCU came to the ring and ended up kind of warding him off or whatever, because I think Scorpio Sky had a main event with Chris Jericho a little later. And it wasn't bad, man. Scorpio Sky is pretty over, man.
Yeah.
He's more over than SCU.
You forgot to mention during this segment with SCU, I don't know that the commentators knew that was SCU. They just call him the marching band. The marching band is here.
Yeah, the marching band is me. I do remember that. Yeah, because commentary is oblivious to everything.
I'm like, oh, that's SCU under. It was like, it's like a typical corny thing for them to do to dress up like this, but I don't think it was portrayed. Like, it just didn't, I don't know. They should have came out as regular SCU. The marching band thing to me just didn't go over. And of course, Jim Ross is like, who's the marching band? Is this the Butcher, the Blade? And the
what's that, Allie in a suit? No, dude.
What is this?
No. Yeah, I totally forgot they even came out in the marching band stuff. Well, it's because they didn't like, there was no build at all to, I didn't even know there was a marching band out there. I tuned in a little late.
Yeah, it was like they passed them as they were walking down in the ring and like you never really noticed the marching band. So they should have.
Yeah, they probably should, or they should have been like in the clown suits on the outside or something. They ripped out the clown suits or something. Yeah. That probably would have been the better way to do it.
Or like under a present. They had presents in the ring. Just come out of under the presents.
Oh, his dad was in the present, remember?
But he could have done another one, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I think that's what everybody was kind of expecting.
He could have Eric Bischoff did with his dad and take off the thing and he's not really his dad.
Oh my God. Yeah, that would have been crazy. Yeah, Scorpio Sky as Chris Jericho's dad. That's what they should have done.
That would have been wild. Do you imagine tearing off the face of Chris Jericho's dad?
That would have been like total, like that's total wrestling, and I love it. I enjoyed the segment. I thought the opening was cool.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people complaining about the mic. Was there a mic under the ring, and they couldn't hear what was going on? And the mic.
God, man, they always get the audio mixing wrong, don't they? They cannot get this audio mixing right, man. What the hell?
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on about that, so I don't know.
Yeah, they always mess that up. Just like don't. Like it seems like such a simple thing to get right. Like you hire a professional and you let the professional audio mix. I don't know why it's such a difficult thing for them to do.
I feel like when they have a mic in the ring, they need to turn the one that's under the ring off, right?
And sometimes they just keep the mics on all the time, which makes it even weirder because now you have the one under the ring and the one beside the ring that like Justin Roberts and stuff is holding. So you can hear like an echo off. It's just like, dude, this is amateur hour, dog. Just get an audio mix. There's like legitimate professionals that do this for a living. Like just hire somebody. What is the problem here?
Yeah. I mean, freaking New Japan had people next to the ring with a mic and a headset so they could manage the audio levels. Get someone like that.
Yeah. Like there should always be someone like watching the show and like immediately telling somebody, hey, this is not right. You know, like they had that issue the other week on TNT where the damn thing was just, it was so low you couldn't even hear anybody, and the ring was just like,
yeah. Yeah, they need to fix that mic audio level stuff, because that's definitely, I see a lot of people complaining about that on Twitter, like, what was that segment? And people are saying it ruined the whole segment for them.
Oh, shoot. I mean, even the backstage stuff is like that too. Yeah. Where they go, they like have a backstage segment and they cut to it. And like, you can't even hear any. It's just like, AEW. What the hell is this, dude?
I feel like half the time, like one of their main concerns is like, okay, we want to make sure this crowd sounds really loud. So they make sure to do that. And then whatever else they don't have figured out.
Yeah. At least the crowd. I mean, the crowd does sound good every week. So I'll give them that much. I don't know what the case is with that, but they always sound good. They definitely sounded good for the Thanksgiving celebration, bro. When he said, I don't like the Blackhawks, they said, boo!
And then, speaking of that, they beat up Justin Roberts, who mentioned a local high school, and then Jericho goes, that high school sucks.
All right, that was awesome. He said, what high school did you go to? He's like, well, that school sucks. All right.
And then Jim Ross ruined it for me, though, because they beat him down. And then Jim Ross goes, oh, I've never seen anybody in their hometown get beat up. And I was like, oh, Jim.
He's Jim.
James Ross. You need to chill.
Yeah. Is Jim his like actual name or is it like
his name's Jimothy?
Jimothy Ross. You bastard. Just stop.
Yeah,
man.
But it was cool. Jericho's like, that high school sucks.
Excalibur made a. It's funny because Excalibur actually made a funny little quip. I think he said something like, "They were working the 50 plus audience or the working the 50 plus demo." That was actually a well-timed one. The JR one was not. It was not at all.
Yeah, you could just tell that Excalibur has fun with some of the stuff, so it's good.
No, he does. He
likes
loves
it
because
he enjoys
matches.
Wrestling.
Yeah,
he enjoys wrestling.
JR, you gotta like fix that, bro. Like, get it together, man. Come on. I mean, I'd rather have the dude out there who was like, the Lucha Bros are very good. All right, that guy. At least he's not like ruining the show. You know, he's just kind of like there. Fuck it.
At least you can tell with him that he's kind of intimidated and scared. And
yeah. JR's like, oh, come here in my sweatpants. No, dude, get your hog out of here, dude. We had a little promo later on in the evening. That thank God that they finally figured out what to do with this gimmick because like it was flailing for a long time. They finally found out how to work the Dark Order gimmick, man. I think they got something here.
Yeah, for sure. I love it, dude.
Yeah, the vignettes are dope. So they played this vignette of this guy finding a poster for the Dark Order, and he went to the secret place where they were hiding. It was like underneath something like a basement. Or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they were holding this cult meeting, the Dark Order cult meeting, to add people to the Dark Order. And, you know, it's people that, like, have lost their way in life or, you know, whatever. And it felt very... I don't think you don't watch American Horror Story, do you?
I think I saw the first season or whatever. But
that was a long time ago.
But yeah.
It felt very... there was a season of American Horror Story. It was called Apocalypse. And it tied in with the Church of Satan a lot, where, you know, they would go, they would find people and then, you know, take them to the Church of Satan and then they would turn to the Church of Satan and all that. It felt very American Horror Story-esque from what I saw there. And I thought it was really good. I think they had to flesh the gimmick out, especially if they're going to do one as contrasted to the rest of the show as the Dark Order. Like, you know, you have like Lucha Bros and Young Bucks, and then like, oh yeah, by the way, there's this BDSM Church of Satan-esque cult group that just happens to be there and likes to wrestle. Yeah. I think you had to flesh it out a little more. And I think they're getting it. Like when the Dark Order was trying to get Marco Stunt to join or whatever.
Yeah, and they try to give him the mask.
Well, eventually they have to get somebody, right? So like someone on the roster has to join the Dark Order. Who joins the Dark Order?
Orange Cassidy.
You think Orange Cassidy leaves the best friends?
Nah, that's money for him. But could you imagine?
Yeah, that would be crazy.
And he just puts on the mask and he could just thumbs on up.
Maybe that one dude that Cody made tap out with the figure four leg lock, they could get him to join the Dark Order.
Yeah,
dude, that would be so hilarious if like next week or something, the Dark Order comes out and they have that dude for that Cody made tap out with the figure four leg lock and he calls out Cody again. He's like, I got the power now. He's in a BDSM like just outfit, like, oh dude, that'd be crazy.
That'd be good. I feel like they should start some like Fight Club type stuff, you know, where you have to fight down there and beat each other
to get
up
accepted. Yeah, in the Church of Satan stuff, you had to like kill somebody to get initiated. Yeah, they should definitely do something like that.
Yeah, maybe just kill people on air, like go kill Cody, and then
get New Jack. He'll be the first person to do this with it. He'll go kill Vic Grimes, just like you said he was trying to, and it'll be perfect. That'll work out good for them.
I think it's a good idea. I like it too, though, because they're giving a death. Because at first I thought it was kind of like sinking, you know, the gimmick. I was like, it was
definitely sinking. I think, right? I mean, absolutely,
it was not what they wanted. They were like, oh yeah, this is gonna be over. I literally thought. They're the first tag champions. This is who they want to be the face of their tag team company. And then, like, they obviously saw, we need to tweak this a little bit because it's not working the way we want it. And I feel like they're finally finding something.
All their vignettes and promo spots have been really good. I don't think they've missed a single time. Some of the matches have missed, but I don't think any of the promos or vignettes or I don't think any of that stuff is missed. And, like, you can add this to the list of things that hit. I think the Dark Order is going to get there. Yeah, I don't think the crowd liked him at all at first, but I think they're starting to get it now. At least I think so. It seems like people were kind of warming up to him.
Yeah, I saw a lot of positive stuff online about this and last week's segment too as well. A lot of people were like, oh, that was great. It was awesome. I can't wait to see where this goes.
I mean, at the end of the day, people just want to be told a story. You know what I mean? They just want to tune in and like have something told to them. And
yeah, because at the beginning it was like, oh, it's these guys, and then they have these minions, and then what does that even mean? And then
yeah, like what is
now
any
they
of
go
this
into
shit?
It? What does this even mean? And then they go back, oh, okay, so that's where it all comes from. This cult, this underground cult thing. All right, let's go. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah, and they also like to wrestle.
They do.
I think that's I like it because it's like they wrestle just to get people into this cult, you know, to take over. And I can respect that. I think it's cool. I think they did a good job. And like I said, the vignettes have been fantastic. I don't know if they're going to continue like fleshing out. I mean, they've already fleshed out a couple. Allie got fleshed out into the Butcher and the Blade stuff. Mm-hmm. I assume they do something with that. I assume eventually we'll get the Dark Order versus the Butcher and Blade. You know, just because like. I feel like they're going to say something about them encroaching on their territory or something, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think that would be really dope. That'd be pretty cool to have played out. But, you know, we'll see how it all ends up going. But I thought, you know, they did a really good job this week and they did good.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, of course, we had, like we talked about a little bit earlier, the main event, the Scorpio Sky and Chris Jericho stuff.
Yeah, the Scorpio
Sky. Yeah, it was a good match. I mean, he's over.
Title match. They made it. Did you catch this? They're like, oh, this is going to be a 60-minute time limit.
Yeah.
If we have to air it on YouTube, we will. And I'm like, oh, that's what we were talking about. We literally mentioned that on the podcast. They're going to air it on AEW Dark.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They didn't go the 60-minute time limit. Well, of course, Jim Ross said TV time limit remaining because he didn't know the gimmick yet.
Yeah, he didn't know because he doesn't know anything. but it was good. And like the finish was hot, bro. That crowd was super into that finish. Like, Chris Jericho, of course, ended up retaining, but like the crowd bit hard on some of the Scorpio Sky close, you know, pin stuff. And that's all you can ask for, man. I mean, like, obviously, we didn't think Scorpio Sky was going to beat, I don't think anyone really thought he was going to beat Jericho, but like,
no, but
they, I mean, like, the best you can ask for is people biting on believing for just a second in matches that, you know, the title holder is going to lose. That's all you can ask for. And like, I think. They definitely got that. And I think Sky is more over by himself than the conglomerate of SCU altogether.
Yeah, I think so. I think they can kind of, I don't know, break him off, but like let him do some more single stuff and that'll be good for him.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, they have Christopher Daniels doing a singles against Pentagon this week, I think.
Yeah, that's the match. They have Pentagon.
Because they've been doing that for a couple, where he's been dressing up as Pentagon and coming out. Yeah, so I think of it, you know, I mean, I don't know if Daniels beats him here. I guess we'll see. I guess a singles match, so it doesn't really matter to Pentagon, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how it plays. This should be good. Daniels is still a fucking great worker. Pentagon rules. I mean, I always felt
Daniels was like that guy that like should have been to like the big major top promotion and just never really got there, you know? He always had the tools to do it, but he never was like, besides TNA, I mean, the stuff he did there was great, but like...
He's probably one of the most over guys that never really worked WWE. I mean, he did like dark matches and stuff, but he was never like signed by WWE. He's probably one of the, like, the most consistent like top dudes that never worked
like
WWE.
Now if he would be like, he'd be an NXT boy and he'd be doing NXT things, you know?
Yeah. Just the timing's different, you know? Like him and AJ were working like WWE metal, you know? Like, that's just like not even a thing. Like that's definitely never going to happen. True.
Metal. Jeez. Yeah. Wow. That brings you back.
Yeah, the metal where AJ was doing like Fosbury flops and moonsaults and stuff. The crowd's like, What the hell is going on? Yeah, all they saw from that was SRIO just doing moonsaults and stuff back in the day. And AJ's like, Mosberry flop! Shooting star press! Oh my god! Yeah, that's crazy, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, wrestling
was
different.
Was like, nah, we don't want him. He was like a talent scout back then. He's like,
yeah. He's probably like, man, yeah, do your flips in hell. All right, dude, damn. That's how it be, I guess.
And now he's working. He's calling those guys matches. Now he's like, fuck, I got to call it Daniel's match.
I
got to
call
it Daniel's. 20 years ago.
This week's AEW wasn't bad, though. I mean, I guess I can understand where people were coming from, but like, I'd still enjoy the show. I don't overthink it, I think, and probably that's one of the reasons why I enjoy it. Like, I just tune in. Like I said, I make dinner during the show. Mm-hmm. I come in, I watch it, and I move on with my week. You know, it's not like a full-time commitment or anything. It's just a fun show that has some cool stuff, and then I just move on.
Yeah. We had the Dynamite Diamond Ring thing as well on the show.
You're right. We did have that, with DDP and stuff.
MJF won, of course.
Yeah. As he won with the $45,000 ring, and DDP came out
raising the price on that thing. I think
whatever, dude. whatever the ring, it's $60 million. Whatever. My favorite part was Hangman Page saying, "I don't give a fuck about the ring." Like, oh, okay, that's neat, I guess.
Yeah, makes it seem so. And this is the first annual Dynamite.
They're gonna do it again. Yeah, they're doing it every year ring. Or something.
It's like their Thanksgiving turkey bowl tradition, you know, they do the Dynamite.
It's a good idea. I mean, like, it works. I mean, the match wasn't anything great. It was a pretty short match, to be honest. But then Wardlow came out, and then like DDP and Wardlow got into a fucking fight, and then I don't know how I feel about that, man. Like, first off, it made Wardlow look like a bitch. Like, just are you kidding me? I break DDP in half by just like glancing at him. Like, come on, man.
Crazy. Yeah, they're going to have a program probably. Wardlow and DDP going to have it.
Well, DDP said he doesn't want to bump, so that's why he didn't bump. He's I don't want to bump no more. So that's why Wardlow didn't make him bump. They just like hit each other or whatever. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, bash my head on the screen right now.
Yeah, right? Jesus Christ, dude. Like, if he's
why
not
put him in that
bump,
position if you're not going
to... I hate that, dude.
That's the Legends gimmick, right? Is to get beat up.
Yeah, just... I mean, fucking the Rock and Roll Express like died like 3 weeks ago.
Soul Train Jones died earlier in the show, remember?
Yeah, that's true. Just get Soul Train Jones. And we have Soul Train Jones to give the ring out for the Diamond Dozen Battle Royale. I mean, like, I pop for DDP because he's my boy and I like him. But like, if he's not going to take a bump, and then it's going to make Wardlow look like garbage because Wardlow just like pushed him, and then DDP pushed him back. And then like, I mean, essentially DDP whooped his ass. So like,
just take one flat back bump and then roll out of the ring and we'll call it good. Okay, just do that.
Yeah, that's all you needed to do, honestly. But they didn't. So
They didn't. Yeah. And then Omega and Pac as well, which we didn't really talk about, I guess.
I don't really talk about, I don't know. It was a match. I mean, it was good. It was a good match too. Like, it was really good. It's just like there was nothing really to talk about. It was just kind of, you know, it was just like a good match.
And I feel like they're leading to another match between them. Is that next
week?
Yeah,
they have
something?
A rubber match, I think. Pac has a lot of rubber matches. I think he'll win this one too, probably.
Yeah, it's very... Yeah, think
Pac
about
is
that.
Probably
going to
be set up in a position
matches.
Where he's like a gatekeeper for this promotion. Where like, if you want to go to that upper echelon, you have to beat Pac. And like, I think that's probably where he'll stick.
Yeah, I think that's a good role for him as well.
Yeah, I think he's like... I don't know what happens with him, like, championship-wise. Like, do you give the title to him eventually?
I mean, you could. You could run with him. I mean, he's got all the tools. People love him. I mean, his in-ring work
I mean,
is great.
It'd be interesting. I don't know. Maybe that's one of the things that's so interesting to me is I don't know what the title scene looks like in this company whatsoever.
Well, right now they're pushing towards Moxley and Jericho because Moxley came out at the end of the show.
Yeah, like, I think they'll probably go with Moxley taking it off of Chris Jericho. Like, he'll probably be the guy that finally beats Jericho. But I don't know, man. There's so many different avenues they can go down, you know? Like, they already got a couple of guys there super, super over. Darby Allin, you know, he's over. Scorpio Sky. Like, these are all guys that have been made in just, like, a few weeks. Like, AEW hasn't been on TV that long, you know? That's crazy to even think about.
No, it's weird to think of, like, who is going to be the next champion because Jericho obviously is holding that for a minute. I don't know if Moxley gets it in his first challenge for it. And when did they have him challenge? Bash at the Beach or what do they do?
I'm excited for the Bash at the Beach, like, cruise shows. I'm excited to see how they end up taping it.
I feel like they're going to do it on a, they're going to dock the boat, and then that's when it's going
to
be.
I assume they have to. I assume they have to dock the boat. I can't imagine them at sea, like being able to transmit that to TNT. I don't know. I don't know how this works, but it'll be interesting.
When is the show? When is Bash of the Beach? I'm trying to remember.
Is it January?
When they said it is. I feel like it's sometime in January.
Yeah, it might be January.
Oh, it is in January. Okay.
Yeah. I'm excited for that show. That'll be fun.
So maybe they wait till then to have Moxley and Jericho? I don't know. It's weird without them doing a pay-per-view.
Moxley beats Jericho, then throws him off the ship.
Throws the title off the ship, dude. Like
Get
Stone Cold.
Get this face shit out of here.
Then he puts his face on it, and he puts it around his waist.
Yeah, of course.
That
that'd be perfect.
Wacky John Moxley. No.
He's so wacky.
I don't know. It is weird. It is weird, because they could build up. Like, I still think Darby Allin's a believable contender for that title, as he's shown time and time again. I don't
yes,
know that
he's
they would
made.
Ever,
he's made. Do whatever
they would
fuck you
do
want.
It, but I feel like, man, if they could somehow, maybe.
They're going to introduce another title here soon. Cody already talked about that, yeah.
What kind of, is it like a openweight title, mid-card, TV?
Mid-card, yeah. I don't know Probably. What they'll do. I would do a TV title, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
They do a lights out title, non-sanctioned, brother.
Yeah. Well, you could just like have anything be that title because it doesn't count. So it's like, whatever. The King of the Deathmatch title.
Ooh, okay. All go. Right, let's go.
Yeah, no, I just, enjoyed AEW, though.
Yeah, it's good. And a lot of people were like, oh, this sucked. Worst show of all time. I'm like, no, not really. That's just TV for you. Not every week's going to be the best week of television, but that's how it flies when you're writing TV every week.
Yeah, it probably helps, like I said, that I'm not looking for things to critique. And everything else is like, okay. Like, because like I said, I just kind of watch it on passerby. Like, I just kind of cook dinner and I'll have it also on the TV. And I'm like, oh, this looks dope. And like, I listen, you know what I mean? Maybe it's just the way I view AEW compared
to... Well, there's
to,
also a lot of people that compare it to NXT as like this war thing going on. And they're like, oh, well, NXT was definitely better. And they did this and they had 60-minute Broadway. So
it's weird, right? I mean, like, I like it. NXT is like objectively cool, right? I mean, like, it's objectively probably a good show. But like, I just couldn't care less about it whatsoever. Like, I don't know. Like, it just doesn't matter to me at all. Like, it doesn't even come up on the radar for me.
Yeah, I'd probably say I'm the same way, to be honest, just because I'm like, I don't know. They try too hard or something over there. I don't know what it is. It just feels like, well,
there's
we
definitely,
gotta go out
there
and...
There's something in the water that, like, I'm not vibing with this show at all. Like, there's something very, I don't know, it feels, I want to say fake, but...
I mean, Keith Lee pounced Adam Cole into the crowd, and I was like, oh, that was a cool gif. But other than that,
yeah, that
was
a cool gif. I like that a lot because I like the pounce. I like the pounce. Like I said, it's like objectively probably a good show, but I just couldn't give a shit what, like, what's going on, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what it is, man, because back in the day, I was a huge NXT guy, and I'm just kind of like,
yeah.
You know, if it's on, I'll watch it, you know, but I don't really go out of my way to seek it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
We had Bray Wyatt, man, and he debuted a new championship, The Fiend championship.
We had discussed this prior to this happening, saying that they could literally do anything that they wanted, and they turned the title blue.
Okay, well, maybe we should have said they could do anything. Maybe we should have dialed that back. That's our fault.
That's my bad. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, sorry that we created this. So The Fiend debuted a new championship with his face as the center plate. It is literally his face, and it says Hurt and Heel on each side, and it looks like a veiny penis on the rest of it. And so this is his championship. It's made by Tom Savini. If you guys don't know who Tom Savini is, he's a very, very decorated FX and makeup artist that worked on a lot of like horror films, George A. Romero movies, Friday the 13th. He's a very credited guy. He's the guy
he's
that actually.
The reason I don't have the Friday the 13th Tom Savini Jason because I didn't pre-order the
DVD. Oh, on the game. You're right. Yeah, dude, that skin whooped ass too. That skin was awesome. on Friday the 13th, you get a Tom Savini made Jason skin. It was sweet. I wish that game didn't die, man. I wish
but
that game
you had
didn't
to pre-order
die.
Or you had to like Kickstart it or something.
Kickstart, I think, is what it was. Yeah. You had to kickstart it.
Damn.
And if, anyway, if you tried to sell it, they would like, you had to like connect your account. They would ban you if you tried to like.
Yeah. It was good. It's good though. Tom Savini is great.
Yeah, like, he's awesome. He's
legend,
a
legend, creating so much good shit.
So Tom Savini was the one that actually made the Fiend mask. I don't know if you knew that, like the original Fiend mask.
Yeah, he
made that, and he also made the lantern that... Yeah, so he made all that stuff. The Fiend basically is a Tom Savini product, to be completely honest with you. And so anyways, Tom Savini made the Fiend championship belt, which is the one you'll see on TV with Bray Wyatt. And Bray... So there's this picture of him, and he is... has the belt around his waist, and it's even dumber around his waist because it just looks like he has a face penis. It's so stupid looking. It's incredible. So there's the best part about this championship is, one, it's just ridiculous.
It's just ridiculous.
And then they sold it on the WWE shop, and they said it's going up for sale, and people were like, you know, it's a pretty unique belt in the sense, you know, it's comparable to Daniel Bryan's belt, the one that he had with the wood and all that. I actually ended up buying that belt, but I sent it back just because I saw that, you know, it could have some differences in it. Like each belt was different and it could be fucked up or something. I was like, I'm not even going to open it. I just sent it back. I was like, give me a refund. I'm going to mess with it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I did with that belt. But they sold this belt and they made a thing about it, and then they put it up on the shop. It was $6,500 for this belt. Are you kidding me? Dude, I can legitimately get an IWGP V4 made. I'm talking real actual belt that they would use on TV for like $3,000. Why in the world would anyone pay $6,500 for this championship? It blows my mind.
I will say this, it is custom made from Tom Savini's studio, and it is legit, like
the same version
that it would be on television. So there's, you have that going for it, but
6, Tony, you ran a company. You had a championship made for your company. How much was that championship?
Not more than $2,000.
It wasn't even $2,000 for an actual handmade championship that you would use on your product. What in the world? Someone's going to buy this.
You could probably go to multiple WrestleManias off of this. Your Japan trip would probably be funded for this.
So boarding in Japan was $900 for 3 weeks. Then travel was $1,300. I could go to Japan multiple times. Like, that's just insane to me, dude. Someone's going to show up with this championship on TV. You know that, right?
Yeah, he'll be in the crowd.
He'll be in the crowd with this belt, and he is going to get jumped. Someone is going to take that belt. Like, that, you're carrying, after tax, it's like $500 in taxes. $7,000. You're walking around with $7,000 on your shoulder.
That is wild.
That's insane. I couldn't believe it. And not only that, but when you put it around your waist, you have Bray Wyatt's face on your crotch. It's just like, dude, what is this?
I'm waiting for someone to cut a hole in it and turn it into a fleshlight and start using it.
You could. You could just like take us. You could take a screwdriver around the mouth and just pop it out. Stick your wiener in there, dude.
For $7,000, I'll do what I want with that title.
The Fiend Championship stays on during sex.
Your balls hanging on his chin.
Oh my god. Could you imagine?
Oh my god.
Dude. The Fiend sex title. Oh, baby. That's the good stuff right there.
I don't even know, man. Like, how do you get away with that?
They can't keep getting away with this.
Is it Tom Savini charging that much money because he's handcrafting, he wants to get paid for his work, or is it WWE marking it up?
Tom Savini's not cheap. Absolutely not. But I mean, like, they can, technically, they could, they could, whatever the hell they want to price it, they can price it. People don't have to buy it. You know what I mean? And I doubt a lot of people would, I assume that this, I'm interested in the aftermarket. I'm interested in someone who gets like number one because they're all numbered. So like, yeah. do you think this inflates in price, especially after you take the mouth out and put your wiener in there?
You're going to see this in a rap video somewhere. Someone in a rap video, like, I don't know. You'll see
the Fiend is a merch machine, man. He is, they're pumping shirts, belts, championships, socks, ornaments. He is really,
why do they give red light bulbs? They should sell those on the shop.
They probably
right
will. Dude, he is pumping stuff, man. Like there is a, the Fiend is really, he's resonating with some sort of audience. He is resonating.
It is wild though to think about $7,000 for a wrestling, man. I feel bad paying like $100 for tickets to go to a show. Like,
yeah, dude, if you ever caught me with the Fiend championship, 7,000 around my waist, just neck me, bro. Just take me out, dude. Just take me to the NXT door. There ain't nothing left for me, man.
What will be fantastic though is they'll have all these, and they are they, so are they on demand? Do they like make them as they are ordered, or do they have them already made? That's the question I want to know.
There's there's no way that they keep this up forever. I assume they only run it for X amount of time, you know?
But I'm wondering if they make extras and they don't sell them, then they're going to have like a markdown on these things.
They better mark this thing down a lot. Like you could have maybe convinced, because it would have been funny to have it in the background of a video or something. You could have maybe convinced me at like $300 to get this belt. $6,500. I'd be smoking cocks. I bet
they'll probably make a child's version of like a plastic one you can get, I'm sure, at one point.
I don't know, man.
No, I guess it'll just be that limited run.
I assume maybe they make a replica version that's not $6,500. I mean, shoot, don't you remember when TNA was selling belts? They're like, yeah, we have replicas. And then like you looked and they were this like real ring made belts. And like that was all they had. And those were only like $2,000. And I thought that was ridiculous. Like, damn. I don't want to pay $2,500 for the X Division title. Like, I want to buy a replica that I can just put in my house and forget about it, you know? Like, that's crazy.
It is insane to think about that, man. I don't think I'd buy... Dude, you could buy a wrestling ring and start a promotion.
You're right, you could. You could buy a ring, literally book talent, and then run a show with $6,500.
Probably have a pretty good roster too. You could like some indie names.
Yeah, you would absolutely have a good roster. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. That's what you should do. So instead, get the money for the Fiend Championship and then just start your own promotion.
Go to highspots.com, buy a ring. They have rings on Highspots.
Yeah, they do. And they're only what, like $2,000?
Yeah, you can get them for like $2,500.
Yeah. And then
buy
just
a ring.
Start your own promotion. Hell, you could start your own promotion and get a handmade championship for your promotion. You could book the show. You'd probably come out with a profit, honestly. Like, if you figured out a way to, like, put it on YouTube or something and, like, actually monetize it, you could probably make up a profit on that, to be honest with you.
You could probably do, like, Joey Ryan versus the Sandman.
Yeah, you could have
Joey Ryan goes over and puts down the Sandman and book a show, and
you could do a lot of stuff.
Custom ring skirts and t-shirts, and you could probably have pyro at your show too.
You could probably just get some damn fireworks.
I guarantee it, man. The things
that's
you
crazy.
Do
wow, yeah, you could do a lot with $6,500. Sheesh,
don't do it.
I'm about to actually, you know what? Don't start your own promotion, just buy the damn belt, knock the mouth out, go to town. Oh baby,
that's wild.
We had a few more things that's just really insane. Quick, I wanted to say, you know, I mentioned this the other week on the podcast, that Gato Move was going to have merch.
Mm-hmm.
They do. It's available now on Pro Wrestling Tees. You can check that out, prowrestlingtees.com/Gato Move. We had Sheamus come back. I don't know if you saw that on SmackDown.
Yeah,
I thought, you know, I thought his retirement was pretty much foregone at this point. Like, I thought he was pretty much done, but he said he's coming back to SmackDown and he's going to beat everybody's ass. He had the old hair.
He had his hair back.
Yeah,
his
he had the spiky back. Hair and the beard and everything. His beard looks even better than before. It's like, damn, he looks
it
good.
It is good.
Man.
It's looking good.
He
man.
Is lean
like
and mean too, dude. That dude he's in immaculate shape. Like, he's been doing that, what is it called? It's a Sheamus Fitness
Celtic
thing.
Something. The
Celtic workout, maybe, I think is what it was. where he goes and works out.
Workout or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he goes and works out with a bunch of WWE people and like and other people too, like fitness people. And it's, mm-hmm. I mean, the numbers don't lie, man. Sheamus is looking, he looks good. Like he's good. And I feel like Sheamus is one of those guys that I don't think he gets enough credit. Because I think when people think about Sheamus, they go back and they think about, you know, like even me, like one of the first things I think about Sheamus is like, oh my God, do you remember that year long Alberto Del Rio feud? Like that was just,
oh no, don't even bring that up.
Yeah, you remember that? And like the time like Sheamus was just like, he was just being kind of a dickhead. He was like, he was supposed to be a super face, but he was just bullying everybody and beating them up. Like, all that shit sucked. But it's like,
I think about the time he won the title by accidentally pushing John Cena, or John Cena fell through a table. Then he won the title.
Oh no, Big Show. Wasn't it Big Show that like his foot went through the table? He said, oops.
Well, that happened too, but John Cena was off the turnbuckle once.
Okay.
John Cena was on the top rope, slipped, and Sheamus won the that was the first time Sheamus ever won the title. John Cena slipped off the top.
Didn't he win the Royal Rumble that year? I think he did. I think he won the Royal Rumble, and that's how he set that up.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
But dude, Sheamus is a kick ass, man. Like he beats the hell out of dudes, and like, there isn't a lot of guys in the WWE right now that do that. Like a lot of guys are not just beating people up. And like Sheamus he's good at that, man. Like all his matches, like someone is getting their ass kicked. And Sheamus takes it back too. Like Sheamus serves it, but he definitely takes it, you know? I think he's a guy that a lot of people just don't, that he just doesn't get a lot of credit. And it's just because of his runs recently. I think they haven't been too great. And of course him getting injured and then all that stuff too. And he's kind of like like Santino. Like when Santino was around, I was like, man, I do not like this shit. And then like I look back on, I'm like, man, I did really like that shit. really, really like that shit.
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I feel like Sheamus kind of turned the corner when he did stuff with Cesaro, and then they eventually became a team where they're having like those banger of matches where they just beating the crap out of each other. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Like every night they had a best of seven, and they were just going out there beating the crap out of each other every night. And then they did the tag team, and then they clicked, and then he got more of a character, and it was like over.
But then then they just like gave up on it. Then the bar was just kind of hanging out. Like it seems like they do that all the time. WWE just what they do is I swear to God, is they want to get the hashtag brand over, and then like they just move on to something else. Like they just give up on it. So like they got the bar over. They're like, this is the bar. Like now that the crowd knows who the bar is, we give up on this. You know, like that's just kind of what they do. Like they do it all the time with everybody. It's like Finn Balor is the extraordinary man that does extraordinary things.
Yeah.
All right, and now you just go be Finn Balor. You know, like that happens literally all the time with everybody. It's like they just get them over enough to where they can sell a shirt or they can do something, and then they move on to the next project, and they let them just kind of hang out wherever they hang out, and they use them when they can use them. As long as they can say something on commentary and the commentary team knows who they are, and the crowd knows who they are, they're just like, whatever. Like, you guys can do whatever. I think that actually hurt Sheamus for a while, to be honest. He got pretty, I don't know, he's probably beat the hell up. The bar thing wasn't over anymore. Cesaro went and started wearing these weird pants. the ankle pants. I don't know what's going on with that.
It doesn't help that the tag team division doesn't have the best track record in WWE, you know, so he's in that.
They just make them to break them. You know, that's the tag team
Daniel
mantra.
Bryan and Rowan were going to main event WrestleMania with the tag titles. You saw that one.
Yeah, until Daniel Bryan the week later said, no, fuck that shit. Eric Rowan said, I'm going to beat you up instead. So, you know, they make them to break them, man. That's the tag team mantra in WWE.
You see that tagline on a shirt somewhere. Make them to break them, the WWE tag team division.
Sheamus is lucky in this sense, because like for most people, that injury he got probably would have taken him out for the rest of it. That would have been a career ender. So him coming back is pretty dope, and he has a chance to really turn this around. I think he's probably smarter than he's ever been, especially how he works and how to get over and stuff. And at this point, he's a legend, man. He's been around forever. Like, that's crazy to think about it. Like, Sheamus has been here for a long time at this point.
I know. Man, that is wild.
That's weird. That's really weird.
ECW? Wasn't he around when ECW was around?
He's been around for at least, 10 years at this point? God, it's 2010, almost 10 years? Bro, that's... oh, my God, that's nuts. Wow.
Yeah, he was there. He debuted in ECW in 2008. 2009 it was. Jeez.
10 years. That's crazy. And he's been in WWE the whole time. The whole time for 10 years. That's crazy, man. And he looks good. Best shape of his life. Yeah, I think he's going to make a tear, man. I think he's going to do good.
I'm excited to catch him. He's kind of reminding me of like a Triple H where it's like he gets injured, but he's such a crazy workout guy that he's like, nah, this injury is not going to be the end of me. I'm going to make it work.
Yeah, he just comes back and works even harder. Yeah, dude's crazy, man. I'm excited. I think Sheamus is dope as hell. So, like, I hope he even made fun of Shorty G. He said, Shorty G, the hell is that? So I think Sheamus is going to be dope, man. I'm excited. I'm still not going to watch the SmackDown, but I'll definitely catch the pay-per-views. I'm excited to see him work on the pay-per-views.
I'm excited to see him. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Elias came back. Alexa Bliss came back. All right, move on.
Yeah, what?
You were just talking about returns. Returns.
Yeah, enough of the returns. I just want to talk about Sheamus. Screw all that shit.
So what did you think about Elias?
and Elias, what's up with him? Elias, another guy where they just, like I told you, where they just like got him over enough to get him there and then just like, we're moving on.
Yeah, that's true.
Batista was overtly horny on Twitter this week. I mean, overtly horny on Twitter this week. Man started going straight for Dana Brooke. Dude, I think he had a girlfriend for like 3 days or something. He posted on Instagram. He said, hey, I got a girlfriend. And he said, hey, I don't got a girlfriend no more. And then he said, Dana Brooke, what you doing?
It's so weird, his tweet. So his first tweet he puts out, he at Dana Brooke WWE. It's like him standing in front of a car. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Like a Rolls Royce or something, I think that is. Dot, 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 sup. And then like the eyeballs emoji. Like who's hornier, him or Jim Ross?
I don't know. Batista was pretty damn horny.
And then Dana Brooke comes back. Oh, not much. You. And then she puts like a gif of her sticking her tongue out. And then like an emoji. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where is this going to go?
That's some good stuff, man. So
and then Batista just posts a shirtless picture of him just standing there.
Is that the one where he's holding his head?
No, this one is just his abs. So we're just looking at his ad and he goes, you know what? Just standing around with my arms up. I see you've been getting in those squats and then like a peach emoji. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, she responds like, yeah, I have. And she's like, it's like a gif of her ass. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is a better work angle than anything on WWE TV right now. I'm like, I was into this. I was like, oh, okay. Batista and Dana Brooke about to, you know, they're about to give it crazy. This is all right. I can dig this.
She said, I'm going to hopefully lets me use his gym. Hopefully he will spot me on some squats.
Oh, he getting the back squat on them. Okay. Getting them back spot on them squats there. Okay. I see what you're doing. Hey, big dog. That's awesome, man. Like, you know, being overtly horny on Twitter sometimes works. And like, well, if you're Batista, I guess if you're Batista, it works very well. Maybe not if you're a regular guy. Maybe don't be overtly horny. It just doesn't.
And then she started going in about like, hey, check your DMs. And then he was screenshotting some of the DMs. And then they were like, I'm like, what is this?
It's just, you know, two grown ass people wanting to have sex and doing it in front of their audience. That's dope.
Listen to this. This is the last thing that I'll say. He says, so per our conversation and deep thought about your question, which you can tell from the photo, he says, yes, you can call me daddy. Happy Thanksgiving.
Dude. Well, I guess Dana Brooke will finally know the answer to how big is Batista's dick. It's a legendary question that has been passed down through the annals of wrestling for years.
Annals of wrestling.
The annals of wrestling. I guess Dana Brooke will know. I'm all in, man. I hope this is the thing. I hope they become a product, man, to be honest with you. I'm all in on the Batista Dana Brooke thing. I want a check mark in the worked category for being overtly horny on Twitter. Because now everyone that's ever overtly horny on Twitter will go back to this one thing and say, well, it worked here. Batista's horny. She's horny. Make it happen. You know, like two consenting adults wanting to have sex in front of their audience, the WWE.
I think
universe.
I tweeted out. I said, just smash already. Get it over with, man.
They should put that on TV. Like WWE can't even work an angle half as cool as this. They should have Bobby Lashley cuck Batista.
Oh my God. Imagine.
That'd be awesome. Bobby Lashley just long dicking everyone's girl. Like this dude's just a savage. That's what I think they should have done with this feud in the first place. Bobby Lashley cucking one person. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Bobby Lashley cucking multiple people. Now we're talking. That's a real storyline. That's a real angle right there.
that, and then Mike Kanellis will get involved somehow. It'll be the
greatest. No, sorry, he's got to sit home, man. He shouldn't have said that shit.
True.
He should have. He went a little too crazy with it. He went a little too wild.
Oh my gosh, man, that was. I feel like people seriously feel like people are coming in at the end of the deadies. They're like, I gotta get this in.
They have to. We should have made an award for most overtly horny on Twitter.
Man, there's a long list there, though. I don't know who's going to win that one.
Yeah, that is actually pretty close. I think Bill Ospreay sometimes could win that. He's pretty. He's more like creepily horny on Twitter. He's just a real
Batista
creep.
Was creepy, too, okay?
No, nah, Batista was pretty smooth. It. I don't know. Batista was pretty smooth, and Danenbrook was pretty into it. You know, Ospreay's weird. That is just, I don't know what the deal is with him.
Oh, my gosh. That's wild.
But an interesting week in wrestling, nonetheless. They always feel like there's something dumb going on in the wrestling world. It could never not be having something stupid going on, you know.
And keep count. How many weeks in a row are we going to talk about Jim Ross sucking and retiring?
It's got to be a record. It's got to be a record. Just get better, forehead. I don't know what to tell you. Just, like, do your job better.
I think back to that time when I'm like, we should just, all right, we beat it to death. But every week he just does something worse and worse and worse.
I don't want to talk about it, but he makes me. It's just, it is what it is, man. It is what it is, to be completely honest with you.
At what point are they just going to be like, Jim Ross, this ain't working out. We thought you were going to be better than you are, and let's just move on.
Yeah,
let's call it
I don't
what
know.
It is.
Pay out the
you
contract.
Go to NWA.
Just do something else. Do something else, man. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to call it a day here on this episode of the Deadlock Podcast. Next week, of course, we'll be back. Remember to go check out the Deadies 2019 ballot submission so you can submit your ballot. And then next week we'll be back, and we will start the voting process for the Deddy's Year End Awards. And then I guess what, on the 14th or the 15th, probably the 15th, we'll have the winners and everything on that episode of the podcast. So that'll be exciting.
Ooh,
good stuff, baby. The first ever.
The first ever annual Deddy's Award, where
cool.
The winner gets a diamond ring.
Yes. Cubic zirconia.
$6,500.
Yeah, go check out. You actually get a fiend mask with a hole in it. Pre-made.
It's the Tom Savini Deddy.
It's the deadlock. It's the deadlock sex version. Yeah, we got that going. That's what we're gonna get Batista.
The fleshlight. We should just get a custom fleshlight made. If they don't make a fiend fleshlight, I'll be very upset.
Yeah, get on the ball. If you guys want to support the podcast, you guys can check out Apple Podcasts, of course. Leave a 5-star review, leave a comment or whatever the case may be. Head over to the shop, buy a shirt, you know, just a couple of different ways. Of course, retweeting on Twitter is also super dope when we post the podcast and stuff. And just interacting with the Twitter in general, leaving likes and all that kind of stuff helps us out a ton too. So if you want to do any of that stuff too, we have a couple of articles this week. I think I have a couple I need to edit. So we should have some out this week, I think. So that'd be pretty dope. Check those out.
Yeah, check the site.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we'll be back next week with the Deddy stuff. So go right now, check the show description, go to that Google Doc, type in some of the stuff that you thought was super dope this year. And then next week we'll come back and we'll start the voting process. So thank you guys once again for watching, and we'll catch you next week on the next episode of the Deadlock Podcast.